Let's stand together and let's sing about our salvation and the one thing that makes it possible. It's the blood of Jesus. Let's sing it. We all know this one. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. He did it for you. He did it for me. And he died for all the world. Amen. And it was because of his grace and his mercy. That's what this wonderful song talks about.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that's our longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
This morning for our sermon message.
All right, I love that song. Thank you for singing that, Brother Kyle. I've, you know, being brought up in a little country church, no song hymnals that we had were wonderful, and so many songs that I love, but that one was not in there. And I remember going to Hillcrest Baptist there in Marshall, and we had just had a wonderful elderly song leader, Brother Vermillion, was my boss for a short period of time because he was over the groundkeeping at ETBU, and I worked there one summer and did nothing but run a weed eater for the whole summer. So anyway, I'm proud to pay somebody else to do my weed eating if you're interested. But anyway, he was our song leader, and that was a song that I remember him singing quite often, and I grew very fond of that song, especially his leading it. I could just still hear his voice as you were leading that, and just a beautiful message. And what a thought! His grace is greater than all of our sins. That's profound to me because my sins are many. My sins are many, as the more contemporary song says, but His grace is greater still. So that's an amazing message in that. And I hope that gives you some maybe some impetus and courage to go to the Lord and know that He is ready and willing to reach out and to help and to forgive. If you'll turn to Him, He'll forgive. Anyway, we're going to be back in Galatians chapter 6 again this morning. We made it past my life verse, Galatians 6, 7, and it was coupled with verses 8 and 9, and we're only going to look at verse 10 today, and then we more than likely will finish up next Sunday. But as I was preparing this message, I just could not find a way to extend past verse 10 in any meaningful way, and that is a challenge a lot of times when you're preaching expositorially, especially with Paul as you get toward the end of his epistles, because he starts to kind of popcorn a little bit and just pull in some thoughts that he hasn't had a chance to address. And a lot of times in his salutations, you know, he'll have some scattered thoughts. And it's not so much here, but this verse just really stood out to me as being kind of a singleton. It almost needs to be treated by itself. And so it is somewhat of a respite from the rest of the book and the chapter. I do think it connects, but it easily stands very firmly on its own. It's obviously an extension of the previous lesson about reaping and sowing, because it's talking about doing good. And that's part of sowing, isn't it? To do good. And so we ended up with the thought that we need to sow good things. We need to do good things. We need to do things that are spiritual and eternal in nature. And, you know, the greatest thing that we'd ever do, whether it be taking this opportunity to do good, you know, the greatest thing we could ever do is to share the love of God, to share Jesus Christ with other people. We know that. That's obvious. And that is the main thought that certainly is coming across in this chapter. It extends beyond that, but it is the greatest good of all. To share the good news. And so, you know, he says to keep doing it. You know, don't get weary in it. Don't quit doing it. And then he says, you know, as you have opportunities, continue to do it. So it certainly connects with what was just said. Probably I should have included it with the previous sermon now that I really look at it a little closer. But I'm glad that I didn't, because it is enough here for me to develop what I thought was a meaningful message to you. So I want to speak to you on the topic of taking the opportunity to do good. It's a simple topic, and it's one that I think is worthwhile. And hopefully you'll leave here today being encouraged and ready to do good, because that's what God desires of us. And so even if it speaks of the flesh and the spirit, which is what the majority of the book of Galatians is about, it can make a connection to those things. It can make a connection to this, to circumcision and the law versus spirit and grace. And we'll get back to that next week for sure. One final time as the book closes, it continues with that thought. But today, this theme is about taking opportunity to do good. And I think that, you know, we talked, Brother Dan talked about the Word of God and how important it is, and people who lose their faith, never had it in my opinion, but people who lose faith, you know, I think he hit it right on the head of the nail, are people who are not grounded in the Word of God. You cannot be deep in the Word of God and not be influenced and moved very strongly by the Holy Spirit of God, because these are the Holy Spirit's words. Let me tell you my view of the Word of God. I believe that He inspired every single word in the Bible. And those people who were writing these words, they were being inspired by every thought. Every word that was said was exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted to say, so that on this very date, as I stand before you, I could speak about this verse and have it mean what it's going to mean to you as it's being preached. I think that's just how powerful and how living and vibrant the Word of God is. There's nothing in your life that you face or will ever face that cannot be addressed by the Word of God. That's how profound it is. The Word of God is sufficient for every last moment of your life. How is that possible? Because God is the Creator. He made you. He knew you before you were. He knew your ending before your beginning. He knows every last intimate aspect of who you are. Your greatest need throughout all of your life is Him, a relationship with the God of this universe. He made that possible through sending His Son, Jesus Christ, came into this world for the simple purpose of bringing us into a relationship with the Creator. And the manner in which He was to have to accomplish that is unbelievable. He had to die for us. He had to die. The only way that we can have a relationship with the God who has made everything, the beauty of Texas and Alaska both, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to know Him through that. We can experience Him and look at creation and worship Him and say, wow, You're wonderful. But to have an actual connection to God has to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through Me. You can't have a relationship with God except through Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit of God, who comes and dwells in us, is the same one who wrote these wonderful words to encourage us, to challenge us, to admonish us, and to goad us into the direction and the action that God desires out of us. So in the previous life verse where he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, don't be weary in well-doing, in due season you will reap if you do not faint. And he follows it up by saying this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It certainly connects to the previous thought. As we have therefore opportunity, he says, let us do good. Don't quit doing good. It's kind of the ideal that Paul says. Don't miss opportunities to continue to do good. I want to try to share a few important principles that I see in this verse, and I no doubt will miss some. You might think of some as I share this verse that I miss out on, and I want to encourage you to tell them to me afterwards. I'll go down and jot them in my notes so when I preach this again, Lord willing, a few years from now, I'll include your points. But these are just the ones that came to my heart and mind as I was looking at this verse. The first thing that I see here is don't waste time on things that are not of consequence. And the reason why, and I said it, you know, I'm trying to separate a little bit from the previous thoughts, but I can't really because it connects. But think about what the Galatians were being encumbered by and what was hindering them. They were being forced and almost converted to a different brand of Christianity than what was taught to them. Matter of fact, it was very different than what Paul had taught them. And they were being led so astray from the simplicity of the faith that they were in danger of becoming totally ineffective. They were encumbered by having to be circumcised and to keep days and months and moons and all that nonsense. I'm going to tell you what, the Christian life and faith is not complicated. We don't have a rubric that we have to follow. We don't have little beads and stuff where we have to memorize prayers and all this kind of stuff. What we do is we wake up each day and we give it to the Lord and we live for Him. As He gives us the opportunity, we do what He wants us to do. Now, we have to be plugged in so that we know that this is what God wants. We have to seize and see when there's a chance to do the right thing and then actually do it. But don't waste time squabbling over things that are not of consequence. One day you're going to be dead in the ground. And the stuff that you sometimes be Don Quixote over is still going to be around after you. But how many souls are going to be in heaven because of you? How many people are you going to have reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ is what really matters. Probably not that thing that's not of consequence, that becomes our pet pony, that becomes our ever-chasing white whale. There she blows. I saw that firsthand in Alaska. It's neat. Look out in the distance and say, psh, see that whale spray come up in the air. And go chasing after that whale, and before you know it, he's way over there, never to be found. And sometimes that's how we are in life. We get fixated on things that are not of eternal consequences, so that before we know it, life has just passed us by. And we've not accomplished anything for the Lord. Don't waste time on things that are not of consequence. It's really easy to be distracted by the hustle and bustle of life and miss out on opportunities to actually live it out. It's equally easy to be distracted by the mayhem and the carnage of our time and to be robbed by the vision of what is available around us in the form of opportunities. There's nothing wrong with being fascinated by certain things and wanting to learn more about the things that are interesting. But it's the simplicity of the faith. It's the simple things that really make a difference. It's the everyday today, glass of cold water and a shirt and a cloak and a visitation and a phone call. Those are the things that matter. And the least of these things, to the least of these people that you have done, He says, you've done it unto me. Don't waste time on things that are not of consequence. The second thing that I see here is while the conditions are available, take advantage. I can tell you this point becomes stronger and stronger in my life as I age. While the conditions are available, take advantage. I need to be careful not to lessen my abilities. I need to be careful to take care of myself so that I have more time to take advantage and make sure that those conditions last longer. Many of you are acutely aware, more so even than myself, that time lessens our opportunities. We get to a point and place in time where we can't do what we used to could do. That's a sad place to be in. It's a humbling place to be as well. It's also a point of grace, because God gives us the grace that we need to carry on, regardless of what we can and cannot do anymore. But I tell you, listen to the preacher as I tell you this. While the conditions are available, take advantage. While you have opportunity, he says, while you have the ability, you need to take advantage. Opportunity is also in verse number 9. Now, you don't read it in the King James Version because they chose a different word to use there. And that's okay. Words can have several different meanings. And the word translated in verse 9 is the exact same word in verse 10 as opportunity is the word season. And let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due opportunity we shall reap if we faint not. So it doesn't make sense to use the word opportunity there. They instead put the word season. The word really is time. It has to do with a time element. As you have the time, as you have the opportunity, as the season is upon you, and do good, he's saying. So while the conditions are available, while the season is nigh, you better take advantage of it. In his autobiography, Just As I Am, Billy Graham tells a neat story, sad story, about a conversation that he had with JFK, John F. Kennedy. On the way back to the Kennedy house, after his inauguration, the president-elect stopped the car and turned to Billy Graham, and he asked him, "Do you believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ?" That's what this Catholic, first Catholic president asked Billy Graham. He said, "I most certainly do." The president asked him, "Well, does my church believe it?" And he said, "They have it in their creeds." JFK said, "They don't preach it. They don't tell us much about it. I'd like to know what you think." He said, "I explained the Bible to him and what it said about Christ coming the first time, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, and then promising that he would come back again. Only then," I said, "are we going to have permanent world peace." "Very interesting," he said, looking away. "We'll have to talk more about that someday." And we drove on. Several years later, Billy Graham says, the two met again at the 1963 National Prayer Breakfast. "I had the flu," Graham remembers. "And after I gave my short talk and he gave his, we walked out of the hotel to his car together. And as was always our custom, at the curb, he turned to me and said, 'Billy, could you ride back to the White House with me? I'd like to see you for a minute.' 'Mr. President,' I said, 'I've got a fever. Not only am I weak, but I don't want to give you this thing. Couldn't we wait and talk some other time?' It was a cold, snowy day, and I was freezing as I stood there without my overcoat. 'Of course,' he said graciously. But the two would never meet again. Later that year, Kennedy was shot dead, and Graham comments, "His hesitation at the car door and his request haunt me still. What was on his mind? Should I have gone with him? It was an irrecoverable moment," he said. Now, no one would dare fault Billy Graham in this situation for not going with JFK that particular day. He was sick. He had every reason to excuse himself. But that's the way our minds work, is it not? He saw this as a mischance. And Paul, as he speaks here, he's telling us not to miss out on those opportunities when you're given. When God opens a door, step through it. When you have an opportunity to share your faith, especially, because that is, I would assume, was what JFK was wanting, was to ask some more theological questions. Take advantage of it. Paul seized on that same thing with a leader. His name was Agrippa. And Paul pleaded to Agrippa and shared his faith with Agrippa. And Agrippa was moved by it. In Acts chapter 26:28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." It was powerful, his testimony was, and how that God had changed him. And Paul's response, he said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day would be most almost and altogether such as I am. And then he said, accept these bonds. Because he was in prison at that time, or he was under arrest anyway. But Agrippa still, as far as I know, did not believe. While we have opportunity to share our faith. One man was given a second chance. There's many people who have been given second chances. And that man you will know, he was a Swedish chemist by the name of Alfred Nobel. I think I've shared this illustration before. It's a good one. But he awoke one morning and read his own obituary in the local newspaper. Here's what it said. Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in a war than ever before. And he died a very rich man. That was the newspaper's summary of his life. It was Alfred's older brother who had actually died. The newspaper reporter had bungled that particular epitaph. But that account had a tremendous impact on Nobel. He decided he wanted to be remembered for something different than what was written about him erroneously. As a result, he initiated the Nobel Prize to reward individuals who foster peace. He said every man ought to have the chance to correct his epitaph in midstream and to write a new one. You know what? Every man does have a chance. Every woman does have a chance to change what the world will say and think about them one day if they're willing to make a change, if they're willing to turn over a new leaf and to go a different direction. And that's what he chose to do. I think the newspaper article was especially cruel to Alfred and what was said about him. Sure, he invented dynamite. He didn't invent it as a weapon of war. He invented it for mining and for building purposes. That is the case is with just about any invention that you can think of. If we can find a way to make a weapon out of it, we'll do it. And that's what happened with dynamite. But I want you to think about this. Have you ever had a life-changing moment like that one? What a wild moment that was to wake up and to read the obituary and to see his name. I've had moments like that, not near as powerful as that particular one. I've heard sermons before that have had impacts on me to some degree. I've heard songs that have had major impact on me before. I've seen things that have had impacts like that on me before. Causing me to know that I need to do something different, to live different. I hope that you have moments like that. And when you do, you seize it as an opportunity to make a needed change. To make a needed change. Sometimes that wake-up call is what we all need. Jolt us to reality. Sometimes in our moments of mortality, as he had, that's when we see the need to do something different, to do something that is needed, something that we've been putting off, something that maybe we've been dreading, but maybe it's time to do it. How many people live with grudges, you know? A broken relationship between a person and a close family member. Life's too short for that. Life's too short to be eat up with dysfunctional relationships with people that are close to us. Somebody has to swallow some pride. Let it be you. Mend the fence. Do what it takes so that you don't live with any regrets. Take the opportunity while you have the chance to do what it takes to fix those things that are broken. To repair a relationship, to reach out to someone who you haven't been able to reach out to. Make an attempt. Keep making an attempt. Saturate it with prayer and be serious. I think God would honor that. Life's too short to waste. Find a way to be at peace with those around you. That's the point number 3. Life is too short to waste. Romans 12:18, one of my favorite. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Simple, true. Simple. But it puts the onus on you and on me, on us. We have the responsibility to try and to live peaceably with all men. I tell you what, we live in a world today where the first thing people want to do is throw knuckles at each other. Or throw food and say, you got my order wrong. And social media doesn't do anything but celebrate that stuff. If you don't believe me, you can go watch it for yourself. I hope that you don't. But, I mean, this stuff is just littered over the stuff that we sit here and we laugh at all day long. Look at that person acting a fool. That's exactly what they're doing. They're acting a fool. They're acting unscripturally. They're acting ungodly. But it's a sign of the time in which we live. Our marching orders, our expectations from the God who saved us is that we ought to do everything in our power to get along with people, to try to be at peace with people. Now, that doesn't mean we compromise our faith. I've preached that to you more times than I can count. I'm not here about trying to bend what I believe so that I get along with somebody. I'm going to stand on the truth. But as much as it lies within me, I need to seek out peace with everyone. Take that for what it says. Do what you can while you can. That's the ideal. While you have the ability, and the youth, and the strength, and the health, do something good. The origin of this word is fascinating, this word opportunity. It's a Latin term, two terms actually, they're put together. The terms are ob. Portu. Ob portu. And I know have experienced this somewhat in the last few days as we came into several different ports. The Alaskan cruise was neat. We made it into five different ports there, and this boat I was on was almost 1,000 foot long. And huge, this thing was, I don't remember how many stories tall. There were like 17 floors on this thing. It's a marvel of the thing could float. And it would come into port, and I remember one particular port. I think it was Sitka. There was another big old boat that was already parked right there, and we had to get in that little bitty spot right there. And that boat, like somebody just took it and went right in there. It's amazing how they can steer those things right into that port. And when they get ready to back out, they just kind of go sideways, and they could turn that thing on a dime almost. It's amazing the steerability of those machines, mostly done by computer instead of humans, according to the captain. But in the old days, it wasn't so. Before the modern days of ports, people would go places in ships, and they couldn't just sail on into port any time that they wanted to because they hadn't been dredged out. They were only so deep, and people would know that. In the old days, they would have to sit out ob portu, outside of the port, meant off of port, not there yet. Had to wait for the tide to come in. And when high tide would roll in, they would rush into port because then they could make it. Otherwise, they would run aground. Of course, nowadays, they've dug it out so you can come in and out of port at any time in most places. But the term that we have for opportunity is a sailing term that is a combination of those two Latin words, ob portu, off port, waiting for a chance to come in, ready for a chance to sail into port became our word, opportunity. The scripture says, as you have opportunity, do good. Meaning there's not always the opportunity. It's not always ripe condition to do good. Sometimes you can't. But sometimes God, in His marvelous way, just lays it right out there before you. An opportunity to do something for Him. An opportunity to bless someone. An opportunity to tell someone. An opportunity to come into port in order to do good. There's a famous passage of Shakespeare that I found that's based on this terminology from Julius Caesar, Act 4, Scene 3. You may recognize some of these words, some that are literary. It says, there is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. Take the opportunity while the tide is high to sail into port. Think about the chances in your life that you have to do good. Some of them are tied to your health. Some of them are tied to your resources. Your ability is sometimes determined by your circumstances. So while you have the circumstances, do good. Take a chance to use the things that God has given you steward of, time and resources, and use them to bless. That brings me to my fourth and final point. Do what you can. You can't do it all. Nobody can. But you can do something. You can do what you can do. Even when the amount that needs to be done is overwhelming. Things often seem overwhelming, don't they? But you can do what you can do. There was a story in Times Magazine several years ago about a doctor who lived through the bombing of Hiroshima. He was only about a mile from the actual epicenter of the blast. But he was standing on a street corner, and the concrete building that was between him and the blast, somehow a portion of it survived. And that structure shielded him from the explosive shock that took place and so forth. And he survived it. Within seconds after the explosion, he says that his ears were filled with the screams of victims all around him. Not knowing what had happened, he stood there for a moment, he said, bewildered. One doctor wondering how he could ever handle this mountain of patients. He said, somewhat stunned, he knelt down, he opened his black bag and began to treat the person that was right there lying at his feet. You can't do everything, but you can do the obvious thing. You can help the one that is right there, the one that's closest to you, the one that needs the help. As you have opportunity, do good. Don't turn away someone who is in need. Don't turn away from the opportunity to do good. Friends, it's often in times of crisis that the true light of Christ can shine its brightest. I read about another man that was from North Dakota. You might remember, some of you, back in the late 90s. There was a terrible, terrible flood in Grand Forks, North Dakota. They had endured 8 blizzards, an ice storm, spring rains, and an early thaw. It severely flooded that town. It just inundated nearly everything in downtown Grand Forks. Homes, schools, stores, churches, all of them surrounded by a world of water. Many, many different organizations stepped up and sent all kinds of supplies and, you know, gospel tracts, you name it. That place was just drowned by aid afterwards. One of the particular residents who had been very hostile to a church that was just across the street from his house, actually fought to try to prevent the church being able to be built close to his house, was moved by how that church acted during that crisis. Remember just a few years back when we had the hurricane crisis and the big church there in Houston refused to let the people come in, and how they've tried to recover from that? Well, this church did just the opposite. They opened up their doors. They reached out and they fed people and they housed people. He responded to what he saw tearfully. And he says, now I've seen the church outside its walls. I couldn't help but be moved by that by that statement and how it spoke to me. And just how it encourages me to take my faith outside of these walls. To take my faith with me everywhere that I go. Opportunity comes at times. And when it does, let's take advantage of it. Another such opportunity was in November 1965. Not near as major as what happened in North Dakota, but it was a blackout in the Northeast. I think something like, 13 states or so up there in the northeast corner, along with a good portion of Canada. There were millions and millions of people who were without power, not for very long, just 13 hours. But the power went out about 6 p.m., right before dark. People rushed to the stores to buy candles. Some places seized the opportunity. You can guess what they did. They doubled the prices of the candles to turn a quick profit on people's hardship. While other stores cut their prices 50%. Some even gave the candles away. Man, if social media would have been around back then, you would have known quickly which one of those stores were raising prices and which ones were lowering and giving away. I guess social media is not all bad. But some seized the opportunity to do good, while others acted unforgettably. Make a special effort. I said that was my final point. I forgot about this one. My final point is this. Make a special effort to bless those in the faith, because that's the last thing that is said here in verse 10. So it says not only take the opportunity to do good, but it says especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, I always want to go to that part. Matter of fact, I want to make that the most important part of this verse, but it's not. But I'm part of that part. But it says especially of those who are of the household of faith. Why is it important that we single out the household of faith? It's not because we're clannish, you know. That's just nature. I mean, you know, Aggies like Aggies and Longhorns like Longhorns. That's just the kind of how it is, you know, in the great state of Texas. Or maybe you're a Bearcat or a Cardinal or a Lumberjack or whatever you are. I'm an ETBU Tiger. So there you go. But especially of those of the household of faith. Why is that? You probably can come up with some reasons why. We could probably come up with some good reasons why if I just opened it up to a discussion here. And hopefully someone would say, because we need to be encouraged. We're on the firing line together, right? We're on the same team. We're on the same battlefield together. We have a cause of Christ, and we are not always looked at favorably in this secular world. As a matter of fact, we are told if we live godly, we will suffer persecution. And so we need to encourage each other. We need to bless each other because, you know, we want to keep each other in the fight. We don't want to lose heart. We want to continue to do good and not faint. And so Paul says, continue to do that. And especially focus, when you have the opportunity, on those who are also in the faith. They need the encouragement. They do. There was a youth pastor named Gary from Michigan. Took off with his church youth in the church van, headed for North Dakota, Montana, and Idaho. Purpose of this road trip was to experience adventure, bonding, and spiritual challenge. He must have gone to have them witness to people and to, you know, go on hiking trips or something. I don't know what the exact plan was. But it sounded like a great trip, a great American West trip. Good idea. Bad van. It broke down on them. Broke down on them. We've experienced some of that. Man, more than once, huh? Were you on the trip with Daryl all the time when the van was bouncing like that and the tire blew out? Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, exactly. That was before Jesus Hold On to the Wheel song, too. Yeah, exactly. Bad van for this group out of Michigan. They broke down somewhere in Montana. He got a phone book, called a church in his denomination. He asked if the youth group could spend the night in the church building. They all had their sleeping bags and would sleep on the floor. Unbelievably, the church leader said no. So the group had to stay in a motel. and wait 2 days for repairs on the van to be completed. Time dragged on, and the young people were getting restless. And somehow or another, a local woman who owned a ranch became aware of their situation. She invited them out to her ranch. During the short time that they were there, she taught them to ride horses, and she let them help with the daily chores and stuff around the ranch, and just fed them wonderful meals. Meanwhile, the mechanic was working hard to get them back on the road. He repaired the van and charged them only for the cost of the parts. What's ironic about this is that neither the rancher nor the repairman were churchgoers. It's humbling, but sometimes God can use the unchurched to remind us churched people, us Christians, that we ought to do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's what he desires out of us. What an opportunity it was for that church. How much more obvious of an opportunity can you have than that, than to open up your doors and to bless that group of people who are going out in God's name? In some respect, they were going to have fun, but obviously they were going to go and try to share their faith too. But they returned away. Missed opportunity. Can't help but think about Mary there in the end, right? The missed opportunity. What have I told you today? 5 things. Don't waste time on things that are not of consequence. While the conditions are available, take advantage. Life is too short to waste. Do what you can and make a special effort to bless those in the faith. May God help us to remember this and take this simple message outside of these walls today. Let's stand together and sing a verse of invitation.